Amen. Turn with me, if you will, this evening back into Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 and 19 will specifically be our text this evening. I want to speak to you on this subject, the first and last works. The first and last works. You know, as we've been studying through the message of Revelation together, studying through each of these letters, I've been spending more time with each of those letters because I feel that as the church of the Lord Jesus, we don't need to just wrap our minds around the truth of God's Word in Revelation to understand it. We need to wrap our hearts around it. We need to feel it and know it and to allow it to become a part of our lives. And because until we wrap our hearts around it, it's never going to make a difference in our hands and how we live our lives each day. And so we don't need to just hear it in our minds and know the truth in our minds. We need to have it in our hearts. And tonight I want to speak to you on this subject, the first and the last works. Revelation 2, verse 18 and 19, this letter began, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first." In other words, as Jesus looked in the life of that church, he saw the last works were greater than the first works. And so I want us to think about, what does that speak to us? What does that say to us as Christians tonight? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as always, we thank you for the privilege that we have to gather here and to worship you. And Lord, thank you for those who are here tonight to hear your word. Thank you, Father, that there was a greater passion and hunger in their heart for what we would be doing here tonight than what the world will be doing tonight. Father, I pray that you would bless our time. That God, you would continue this work of growth in our lives. That Lord, when you look upon our lives and upon this church, that you would be able to say the same thing that you said to the church of Thyatira, that our last works are greater than the first. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor and glory for all that you accomplish and all that you do in our time together tonight. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now again, this morning as we looked into this letter, we saw it was a letter that Jesus sent to the church that was caught fooling around. It began with this vision of the Son of God who has eyes like a flame of fire and feet like fine brass. There was spiritual adultery in the church, idolatry. There was physical adultery, fornication, immorality in the life of the church. They'd been caught fooling around. Jesus saw what was going on, and he was about to put his foot down and deal with it. That church needed that vision of Christ. But tonight I want to call attention to the wonderful and amazing truth that this letter begins with. After identifying the audience, where the letter was going, after identifying who was sending the letter, who was speaking the words of the letter, we find here in verse 19 that the Lord Jesus began that letter, as he began these letters, first of all, with words of gracious commendation. As he's looking into the life of this church, this fooling around, those all-seeing eyes as a flame of fire, they did see some things and some people that could be commended. And it all had to do with their works. and what the works of their lives were testifying to. Notice how he put it in verse 19. He says, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and patience and thy works and the last to be more than the first. Now, folks, I want you to understand, as Jesus commends this church, he's commending them not for the fact that there's some perfect Christians in the church. He's not saying there's some folks in the church who have arrived, who have attained, who have finally finished. No, you know, what he commends is the direction of some in the life of the church. The direction of their lives. And it was all evidenced by the works in their lives. You see, he said their last works are greater than the first works. And so with all that Jesus had to address in this letter that we looked at this morning, of all the grave words and calling out and calling them to repentance and to a decision, with all that he had to share with them, when he first looked into the life of that church, he had some words of commendation because there was evidence of spiritual growth in the life of many in that church, as seen in that their last works were greater than the first. And so, folks, as we begin tonight, we need to begin here. There's no such thing as a perfect church, and there's no such thing as perfect Christians in a church. There's no such thing as people who have arrived spiritually and have this life and the Christian life by the tail and are complete and finished. No such ones in this life, this side of eternity. But folks, what should be seen in the life of every church is Christians who their last works are greater than the first works. In other words, there should be a direction in their life and in their works that displays the work of the gospel and God's grace in their lives. So folks, I just want to share with you tonight three simple observations from this commendation that Jesus opens the letter with for our prayerful consideration tonight. And they're going to be short and brief. First of all, I want you to notice this. What this commendation has to say to us, what it speaks to us, first of all, it tells us what every Christian life is supposed to be. What every Christian life is meant to be. He looks and he says, I know thy works and the last to be more than the first. When he speaks that truth, when he shares that commendation, he is testifying to what every Christian life should be. It should be a life of continual growth and progress, of moving forward, of becoming more like Jesus. Would you agree? See, when we have heard and heeded the gospel message and we have experienced the grace of God in our life, the Word of God tells us we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God goes to work in our life through the ministry of the Word of God as we have been justified and positionally made right in Christ. The Spirit of God and the Word of God goes to work in our lives to conform our entire life and being to the image of Christ. See, the Christian life is meant to be, this side of heaven, a life of continual progress. A life in which there is a one direction in which we're headed to be more like Christ and less like the world. That's what every Christian life is meant to be. And folks, this is not just a truth that we see in the spiritual realm. It's a truth that we see in the physical realm. life is meant to be a growing process. There should be a direction in our lives, in every area, in every aspect of our life. Think of the many proverbs and sayings that we have. Have you ever heard, practice what makes perfect? How about this? If at first you don't succeed, try again. All right, you that like to work out and exercise, no pain, no gain. See, if you would pick up a heavyweight tomorrow, you got to start by picking up a lesser weight today. If you want to be able to run 2 miles next month, then you got to be starting walking 1 mile or running a mile today. See, it's just a truth in the physical realm. And it's a truth in the spiritual realm. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind us, reaching forward to those things that are before us, moving forward with the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There should be continual growth, progress in our lives. In other words, tomorrow there should be more of Christ in us than today. Every metaphor that you come to in the Word of God for the Christian life proclaims this truth. Is it referred to as a building? Well, there must be a right foundation. There must be a strong foundation, and you build upon it. There must be walls constructed. It's built up. There's a roof that is placed upon this building. Is it a tree? Then it needs to be by the rivers of water. It needs to be rooted by the rivers of water. And it must grow. It will grow. It will spread forth its branches. And the winds and storms of life will not destroy it because of its growth. Is it a plant? It's planted in fertile soil. It is to grow. It's not just to produce foliage, but there will be fruit that comes in it. Is it a body? Then that body is to grow. It is to strengthen. It is to mature. Youth is to go on to manhood. Is it a race? Then we're to buffet our bodies. We're to strive, we're to train, we're to press towards the goal, we're to seek to finish well. Every metaphor in the Christian life depicts this truth, that the Christian life should be a life of continual growth and progress and moving forward. And how can you gauge that progress? It's by the works of our lives. How can you tell there's growth in your life as a Christian? I'll tell you how. How does it compare? How do your first works and your last works compare? Are the last works greater than the first? Are the first works greater than the last? See, here's the second observation. Not only does this commendation speak to us about what every Christian life is meant to be, and it should be, but guess what? It also speaks to us about what many Christian lives are not. See, when he looked into this church with those all-seeing eyes as a flame of fire, he saw those in the church, their last works were greater than the first. He commended them. But I want to ask you to think with me for just a few moments tonight. Those all-seeing eyes as a flame of fire are still looking upon His church today. Does He see our last works greater than our first? Now, folks, I'm not even going to deal with the fact of what many today who profess Christ, the fact that there's never been a true conversion in their life. Not even going to go there. That's an entirely different message. And But here in this text, I believe what we're dealing with is the life of Christians and the life of the church of the Lord Jesus. And what he saw in the life of Thyatira amongst many of them, I fear that he doesn't see in the lives of many today who profess the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I mean, think of it today, folks. How many can we look on and think on who have professed Christ, who've given their life to Christ, who've consecrated their lives, become a part of the church, only a week later, a month later, a year later, or maybe even years later, are now returning to the old ways, the old life, the old lives. Their last works are less than their first works. How many today in the church, professing Christians, hear me, have not grown one bit in their lives, in their walk with Christ? And it's evident by the fact that our works are not greater than at the first. If anyone knows this, if you're going to ride a bicycle, when you get on that thing and straddle that thing, listen, you better move forward. You better pedal forward. If you stand still, you're going down. You backpedal, you ain't going nowhere but down. The condition of moving forward, of being upright on that bicycle, is that you're moving forward. And folks, that same truth applies to our lives as Christians today. If we would be upright, then we must be moving forward. And yet it seems that in the life of the church today, in the life of many who professed Christ, the direction of their lives is down. The direction of their lives is backwards. There's no forward momentum. There's no growth. There's no continual progress. I mean, it's as if today in the life of the church, we have totally forgotten and totally ignore this simple truth of what every Christian life is meant to be. And therefore, we are suffering in our life, in our walk, in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, hear me. From this simple commendation, we're confronted with this. There's only two alternatives in our lives as Christians. We're either becoming more like Christ or less so. We're either moving forward or we're backing up, backsliding, and falling down. Which brings me to the third observation. And that is, how can the commendation of our text be ours? If Christ looks upon us today and he honestly can't say our last works are greater than our first, then is there something in this text that can speak to us to teach us how that can be true of us? How we can be found as our last works greater than our first works? I believe it's so. And I believe it's very, very simple. And I believe we are missing it today in our lives. Again, look at the first part of verse 19. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and patience. I know thy works and the last to be more than the first. You see, it's very simple. We touched on it this morning, and I want to speak to it just a little bit further and quickly tonight. If we want this commendation to be ours, it all has to do with charity and faith. That word charity, of course, being love. We talked about it this morning. Our love of Christ. That love, that growing love of Christ. Guess what? You know how you can know you're growing in your love of Christ? Because it will be seen in your service towards one another, towards your fellow man, towards your brother and sister in Christ, towards the lost in your life. There'll be works of service abundant in your life when there's love of Jesus growing in your life. And faith, trust, trusting in Jesus, walking with Jesus, depending upon Jesus. You know how you can tell you're growing in your faith and in your trust in Jesus? Because the works of your life will be works of patience. There'll be works of endurance. There'll be works of long suffering. In other words, no matter what comes your way in life, no matter how bad it gets, no matter what storm blows in, there, if there's growth in your love of the Lord and your faith in the Lord and your trust in the Lord, it will be evidenced by the works of your life. There'll be a greater service towards others. There'll be a greater faithfulness, commitment to the things of God, in the service of God. See, it's not the works. It's not the works that brings the growth. The works are simply the outflow of the growth. They're what flows from our intimacy with the Lord Jesus. That's how you can know there's true growth and continual progress in your life. It all flows from your love and your faith, your walk, your intimacy with the Lord Jesus. Look with me in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. You'll remember the story. It says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" So let's look at the works in Martha's life. She's in the kitchen cooking supper for Jesus, but she's slamming cabinets and pots and pans and upset because her sister's not in there helping. So she runs out to Jesus to tell Jesus what he ought to do. Straighten her sister out. And Jesus simply shares with her what she needs to do. "You need to sit at my feet like your sister Mary. Then you wouldn't be so bothered in the kitchen." Okay, so let's go over to John 12. John chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." So you know what house we're at, right? Martha and Mary's house. Okay? Now verse 2. Look with me. "There They made him supper, and Martha served." Do you see it? Martha's last works are greater than the first works. Oh, she's still cooking. She's still serving Jesus. But rather than being upset and throwing a fit, now she's just serving Jesus. But did you see Mary's growth? They made him supper. So now she, having been at the feet of Jesus, is now in the kitchen helping Martha serve supper. Her last works are greater than her first. There's been progress. There's been growth. And it all hinged on sitting at the feet of Jesus. I want to share with you what God has spoken into my heart this week in my life. It's intimacy. No, I'm not talking about reading my Bible and checking it off in the morning. I'm talking about sitting at the feet of Jesus and letting Him speak to me. Communion and love and fellowship with Jesus. Because when that's happening, it will be said, your last works are greater than the first. So this commendation, it speaks to us about what every Christian life should be. Continual growth and progress. Moving forward. But it calls attention to what most Christian lives are not. They're not growing. They're not moving forward. And it tells us why. It's love and faith. It's intimacy. It's spending time with Jesus, in love with the Lord Jesus. The outflow of that will be greater works tomorrow than today. Revelation 2, verse 26. I want to read that verse and I'm done. You probably missed it. Because I missed it. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power. So he begins the letter by commending them for their works, but at the end, he calls attention to the fact they've kept his works. In other words, how do you grow? How are you going to be more like Jesus tomorrow than you were today? How will your last works ever be greater than the first works? Only if your works are the works of God and His grace in you and through you. In other words, I'd leave you with just a simple illustration that I was given this week. We mess up when we put a motor in a sailboat. In the Christian life, here's what we've done. We've put a motor in the sailboat. See, a sailboat, the wind determines the speed of the boat. But when you put a motor in a sailboat, you determine the speed of the boat. But you also have to keep it filled with gas and maintenance. And here's why our last works aren't greater than the first works. It's time we threw the motor out the boat. Hear me? See, as long as we got time and energy and resources, we can make pretty good time and speed, but sooner or later, our time, our energy, our resources run out. But if we're letting the wind move us forward, we'll always be heading in the right direction because we'll be heading where the wind's blowing. And we'll always be getting there right on time because the Spirit of God will be the one steering the ship and the time. It's time to throw the motor out the boat. Don't you want our last works to be greater than the first in the eyes of Jesus? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and for the truth of your word. May it, Father, not just fill our hearts, but thrill our hearts. Lord, may it be said of First Baptist Church in Bono that our last works are greater than the first. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.